Like, your Twitter handle is Butters da Bear, and you dress up as a bear.
You don't have to dress up, but yeah.
Chase each other around the house. Yeah.
You're confusing
no,
so many
people. I'm not. You think this is fake?
You just dress up and chase people around the house.
You think this is fake, but it's not.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name is Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 166. We're getting up there. Numbers are climbing. I have got in front of me the final results of NGP's Best of 2018.
Oh, dang.
Wow.
Remember, we've been doing this poll for about a month now as we've gone into the new year, and we asked two simple questions. What was your favorite game released in 2018, and what was your favorite game played in 2018?
Okay.
Hard questions to answer.
They are.
But very specific, one answer each. We had multiple choice for the first question, favorite released, although you could always pick other and then submit your own game, which if you did. And then for your favorite played, it was just a blank. You can type in any game because you could literally play any game right in 2018, except if it came out in 2019.
That's true. Barring the fact that you could time travel or something.
Chime travel. And we've got our final results. And at 33.3%, we've got one game that was the favorite game released in 2018.
That's a third. All right.
And what? It is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
No surprise there.
There's nothing really close to it. It's followed at a distance by Red Dead Redemption 2. But yeah, overwhelmingly Smash Brothers.
Interesting. That is very interesting. I mean, of course, it was very popular, but it came out right towards the end, so maybe it's on everyone's mind still. Like, it's still fresh. So
that's
like,
definitely part of it, but I mean, it anticipated. And they did great with it, right?
Definitely. I like it.
It's a big franchise.
True. For the favorite video game played in 2018, that one was a lot more diverse, whereas we had four kind of primary like contenders for the first question. The second question had dozens and dozens of responses, and so many of them different from one another. We had many games that had one or two responses, but there was one that came out above the rest, and it's no change from the update last week. Stardew Valley is at the very, very, very top.
I love that, because the game did not come out in 2018.
Did not come out in 2018. However, some updates in 2018. Remember, they even did the multiplayer update in 2018. Mm-hmm. I think it came to Switch, or it's going to come to Switch.
It came to Switch in 2018, and I think that's where a lot of the like re-hype came from. You know, a lot of people didn't know about the game before that because people, you know, some people are just console gamers, and they didn't know about it.
Yeah, Stardew Valley up there at the top. Now, there is a close second, and that is Breath of the Wild that came out in 2017, I believe.
So ended up kind of seeing things that we aren't surprised by because things were already trending that way, but a couple of big and fun titles. So I don't know that it's surprising, except for the fact that maybe I need to jump on the Stardew Valley hype. I don't know.
Of course you should. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I don't
know. You would like it, I feel like.
I don't know. It's just
so too.
I'm not convinced. We'll see. In 15 years, when it comes up on the episode, maybe I'll play it. Now, what I didn't tell you guys is that this week, I didn't give it as long as you guys did for the official poll, but I did an informal worst game of 2019 poll.
By yourself?
Yeah, I asked myself what the worst game we played on the podcast in 2019 was.
Yeah, what was the top answer?
I'll tell you at the end of this episode.
Listen, okay, those are the poll results. Thank you for everyone that joined that poll. However, that's not the only thing that I wanted to do up front, because there is some big news that I wanted to share with you guys.
You are pregnant. You're pregnant, not your wife.
Rocket League became the second ever full cross-platform game.
What, finally?
I don't care.
It did. No, yes you do, Nolan. No, it scratched. Okay, act like I said any other game. It doesn't matter.
It's a year and a half too late.
No, what are you guys doing, you idiots?
I mean, it's all cool that they did it, but I quit playing the game a long time ago, so I don't
care. No one asks. If you're not playing the game, rest assured it's a great game.
Okay,
Stardew Valley, Rocket League. Okay, I don't even want to say the name of that because y'all will cheer because y'all are noobs. Fortnite. Fortnite was the only ever game that was full cross-platform, and Rocket League just became the second. So okay, it doesn't matter that it's Rocket League and you're mad because you're not good at it. It's great news for Rocket League, sure, but maybe even better news for gamers at large, because it's a glimpse of a near future that is much easier for friends to play video games together.
Here's the problem. No, you start, okay, you make everything cross everything compatible, and they start designing everything around the console experience, even if it's a PC game. And PC games should feel fundamentally different, and I want a different kind of interaction.
Right. But listen, I get so frustrated with this whole mentality that and it's not you guys. It's gamers, and then it's the companies in response to that. Not everything has to go one direction. I'm glad that this is opening up and that more competitive games are becoming full cross-platform, because that's a lot of fun. I can play with all my friends. That most of my friends outside of you guys are PC consolers. Gamers.
Yeah,
they play some kind of console, and that's great. I'm never one that's like, oh, you can only PC Master Race.
I'll give you that. Yeah, I think.
Well, no, hold on. But I am saying, but so do that with some. But then you can still, developers make tons of games that are only PC, and that's fine too.
Yeah, games like Rocket League, first-person shooters, it certainly works, and I get it.
First-person shooters like Rocket League.
No, there was a comma there. Games.
I know, but still, I just imagine these cars going around shooting.
First-person drivers. I'm sure there's a mode where at some point they'll allow that. It works for some games. I hate that if all the popularity and money ends up going there, that it could just sort of accidentally erode something I love, and so I'm just cautious, but it's probably a good thing, and my wallet's open, a lot of other people's wallets are open, so PC gaming probably isn't going anywhere either, so it'll be okay. Don't panic, guys.
Even though you guys didn't react and actually talk about it with joy like I was hoping, because I was excited about it, I just wanted to share a piece of massively significant news for all of our multiplayer gamers out there. So hop online, assume your role, and enjoy playing some incredible cross-platform games.
That was well done.
Massively multiplayer online role-playing games, in our retro game of the week, RuneScape.
Overview.
RuneScape is a PC title originally released in the year 2001 by JagX, and as you could tell from that incredible segue, that this is our first MMORPG on the podcast. What does MMORPG stand for, you might ask?
I got you. Massively multiplayer online role-playing game.
You almost skipped role-playing.
You almost messed it up so bad.
And, I mean, break those words down. Honestly, I know I don't have to do this for most of you guys, but for the casual, I mean, my mom listens every once in a while, and she knows nothing about video games, so it's good to just explain every once in a while. Massively, meaning massive amounts of people play the game.
Internet.
The plan is that. Multiplayer. They play together. Multiple people do.
Yeah.
Online. You need some kind of online functionality. Wi-Fi?
Websites?
Websites? Direct plugging in your computer into the router?
Oh, broadband. Goodness.
role playing. That's where Hello. You dress up like a character and you say,
"It's me,
Hello, boys."
You taught
Hello.
Us about role playing this week. Can we take a pause for those who didn't catch the reference?
Hold on.
And no, just, because I, just let me say the oh. last word is okay. game. You play it
and you win.
And you can play it together with your friends like we got to do this week, which is not which always was, the case. And so,
no, it's not.
If you didn't catch it by catching our first play or some of the other bonus content we released this week, Dustin, that's your name, was referring to some really, really ridiculous role playing he was doing during that. And it was funny. Go check it out and don't ever play video games with
it
him.
It really is funny, though. Like, I was there and still enjoyed watching it because it's so stupid. You don't have to care about the game.
You don't like role playing. There's different levels of role playing, right?
Absolutely.
Here we go.
Role playing could simply be that you're in control of a character and you assume their role. And so like you pick their armor and like their abilities. That's that's one version of role playing.
Sure.
And then there's the role playing where you Dungeons and Dragons. Oh,
like
no,
the opposite. The other extreme is
well,
furries.
Where you are the character
like your Twitter handle is Butters the Bear and you dress up as a bear.
You don't have to dress up, but yeah,
chase each other around the house. Yeah.
Oh, you're confusing
no,
so many people.
I'm not. You think
just
this is
said
fake?
Dress up and chase people around the house.
You think this is fake, but it's not.
Oh, well, we did a first play this week, and so you can visually see our first experience playing the game together from the time that our characters greeted one another and Kenny was making fires to the time that we completed one quest to the time that Kenny was complaining about walking so far behind us.
You guys left me the whole time. And you can't,
we can't hold on
this game.
Go watch our first play on it. Our YouTubes.
Hey, listen, an MMO that we can play on our retro gaming podcast.
Yeah.
That's a big deal, right?
There's probably a couple others. World of Warcraft would be one of them, but I don't know how many others there are. Because this is early. Here's the incredible thing that I said it was on PC, and it is, but it wasn't originally on a CD or a floppy disk or anything like that. It wasn't even a download. Nope. It was an in-browser game built with Java.
Which is sick, because that's convenient. That's what that was.
I mean, that's sick. That's crazy. That's unique. We haven't played any other game like that. And
Java sucks, but at the
time, it's a game where in-browser thousands and thousands of people could create unique characters and play them in this medieval fantasy world with their friends and with other people around the world. I guarantee you people have gotten married because they met in this game.
Probably.
They probably did a marriage ceremony in the game.
Oh, no. I mean, yes, but people are pretty serious about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they for sure are. Well, thousands and thousands still play it today. Okay, let me break that down. This is not RuneScape 3. RuneScape 3 is the most current version of RuneScape. They continue to update it today. They've really given it a facelift, updated the graphic, the gameplay, all of that. What we played this week was old school RuneScape, which came out in 2013. And it was a remake of the original RuneScape in one of its final forms from 2007. We weren't able to go back and play 2001's version because that just doesn't exist anymore. But we did play the 2007 version pretty much that is one of the final forms of 2001,
right. And
if that makes any sense.
It's basically the same game. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of development that happened over there and some features and things that we got that they didn't. But I'm going to argue that if nothing else, this looks like a 2001 game. So even if it's kind of a legal gray area, it's totally an old school game. Because this game is old school.
You need to go back and look at classic RuneScape.
It might look a little bit different, but here's the thing. They are going for faithful recreation. Like, they're trying to be as faithful as possible to the earliest iterations of this game with this old school RuneScape release. I played it back in middle school, so it would have been around release. And then, Nolan, you said that you too played it early on, correct?
Played it in middle school, yeah.
And then, Kenny, you've not, pretty much, we got down to the bottom of it. You've not played this game before?
I think I had, but not long enough to actually, like, have a true recollection. I think I played for, like, 2 or 3 hours one weekend, probably when I was in middle school, like, way back in the day.
Yeah.
And so I don't have any... I didn't play enough of it for it to, like, be a game that counts.
And disclaimer, I was addicted to it and played it a ton. So that, well, keep that in mind in this episode. Let me ask
you, Kenny, have you played it enough this week to now have an informed opinion on what you think about this game?
That's a really hard question and something I wanted to actually talk about. Because the problem with an MMORPG is that so much of the content, at least that appeals to me, tends to be later in the game kind of content. Those sorts of games get fun to me when you can raid, when you can do the big bosses and not like right when you're starting off. So I probably didn't play enough to truly appreciate it.
Some, but if early is not going to capture your attention and affection, then you're probably not going to make yourself get to that late game experience either.
But
that is a lot of our conversation as we continue the podcast now.
Gameplay.
In MMORPGs, there is story and there are quests and there are things like, but what it is in RuneScape in particular is this huge sandbox environment where, for the most part, you set your own goals.
Yeah.
And so you can do really, I mean, within reason, you can do whatever you want. It's role playing. And so you can build characters that focus on combat. You can focus on combating other player controlled characters. Some don't focus on combat at all and focus on just like cooking or wood cutting, like creating a character that cuts wood. And for so many people that are listening, that's crazy. But so many people enjoy doing that.
The reason that RuneScape is unique out of, take all MMOs, right? They're faster paced. They're more action oriented. The graphics are more realistic. Realistic. If you saw the game, you know what I'm talking about. And very raid heavy and play with your friend heavy. RuneScape intentionally is not that. It's more like Dustin said, you pick your path. And I would argue that this is the most single player MMO out there, if that makes any sense at all.
Oh, I totally felt that this week. And again, it may be that we didn't get far enough into the game to experience some of the like intentionally multiplayer-ish sort of elements with it. But I found this game actually frustrating early on to even try and play multiplayer for sure. The game's going to appeal to you if repetitiously working on something mundane but then getting some reward out of it is appealing to you, because this game is super grindy.
Very grindy, yeah.
Yeah, and the way items work, it almost has sort of a like a Minecraft feel, where you're like taking materials, harvesting them, collecting them in a limited amount of space, taking those materials, turning them into something else. Maybe that's armor, maybe that's food, maybe that's equipment you need to actually go and do some of the kind of quote unquote real game quests. I mean, it's all a valid option, honestly. And so it kind of is a weird like mashup of something typical MMORPG, something a little bit sort of Minecraft-ish, and then like a weird browser-based Flash sort of thing, all multiplied with kind of an old-school video game feel. It kind of feels almost like a sort of text-based in how it's driven, and you like mix those things all up in a pot and stew them, and you're going to end up with RuneScape.
And here's the thing. You just said that, and that sounds so interesting to me, but I completely understand how for some other people that doesn't sound interesting at all.
Yeah, it's hard to even talk about what the appeal was for me as a kid. Like, I wonder. Well,
dude, things were slower there and it was okay. Kids' television shows, video games, everything was not what it is today. This spastic, color, crazy, flash in your face. Ooh, and so I think that having something, and here's the thing, RuneScape, although it is slow, you could probably play it in a way that is more upbeat and keeping you going. And going.
Social,
Like, if you don't focus on wood cutting or mining or cooking or some of these other things and really just play it more as a combat-heavy game and a quest-heavy game, then you're going – that's going to keep you involved and going to keep it flashing, going to keep it interactive in that regard, I think.
I think another thing back in 2007 or 6 when I was playing this game, that multiplayer was of course a thing in gaming, but – online, like we had Xbox Live, I think. Yeah, we definitely had Xbox Live, but it wasn't good. So the fact that I could get on my computer, open up a browser window, and immediately be connected to my friends playing the same game with a solid connection was a very important detail to me. And so that's probably what the major draw was the multiplayer aspect of it for me. But there's something that it's going to be really hard for me to explain about the gameplay that captured me and that still is interesting to me.
Yeah, and I was going to knock a few of those things, but when you look at this game, it is a continuously growing game even today. Like, it's continuing to gain more users and expand the number of people playing it. And that's weird, especially for an old game like this. So it's feeling some kind of niche, I think, partly in gameplay because it's stuck to being sort of basic and unassuming and kind of aware of what it's trying to be in its simplicity. But also, this is not a beefy kind of game. This is a game that people that are still running on their super virus-laden, you know, Windows XP machines that are running like, I don't even know what kind of system, can run and play, because it's not going to take some of the, like, upkeep that quote-unquote typical PC gaming takes. And I think that's made it accessible to more people to some degree. Plus, they're still developing it. They just dropped mobile client this last year.
Dustin, did you play the game enough this week to get a general sense of what you feel about how the gameplay is paced? Because I already know Kenny doesn't care.
Yeah, I think so for sure. To be fair, I played it, you know, for half a year or whatever back a while ago. So I wasn't coming at it from scratch. I did. And so we can talk that out. I'm not just going to like lay out right now my full thoughts. But one of the main things here that we all interacted with this week are the quests. It doesn't force you to do them, but those are sitting there. That's how you get money. That's how you get resources. So quests are a really good thing to do, really, for anybody, no matter kind of what game you're going to play.
Yeah.
And so we went and played some quests. We did a quest together, and then I did a good amount of quests solo. One of the things that I did notice, kind of a mark against the game, is that at least near the beginning, there's very little story. The quests themselves have little storylines, but there's not this overarching story, which I appreciate in MMOs, and I don't think you're going to get that in RuneScape. You really start a quest by walking up to a person that's marked as a quest giver, and you choose the text option, "Hi, I'm looking for a quest. Do you got one?" And that's how you start a quest, rather than like some epic intertwining story, which, okay, again, 2001, right, is where all of this started, so I understand to some degree, but what I would have liked to see is kind of this story that of why you're even in the world that RuneScape is taking place in, and why, and you're embarking on something. Does it ever go that direction, Nolan, or is it just kind of these compartmentalized quests?
Not at all. I think you might get some of that in RuneScape 3, which I'm not going to play that game. So old school RuneScape, no way. It's very much you walk up to a quest and you start some quests that some of the quests are connected, especially the members' quests. So it's important to say that we haven't really talked about that this game is free to play, and it always has been. But paying to be a member unlocks a ton of content, and I think over 100 quests. So if questing is your thing, you're going to want to be a member. Now, some of those quests and members are connected to some early free-to-play ones that you completed, but they're all random, their own separate plots. There's not
and
really
you start a, it by saying, hey, do you have a quest
for me? Yeah, pretty much. That's it.
Yeah. And the thing, you mentioned membership. The thing that is nice on the other side is that this game in no way is pay to win, which is just a beautiful thing for any kind of online multiplayer, especially an MMO, right? Like there is no... there is nothing that you can buy that can enhance your gaming experience. The only thing that you can do is get a membership. Is that correct? Can you buy items with real world money?
I mean, not legally.
Right. Okay.
Not within the bounds of their allowances. No, they don't do that.
Right. I love that we even have to say legally, because in most games today, it's completely legal
for
them to take all your money to be able to play this game.
I have a sense that that's true and not true. Since they did the whole bond thing, which is a cool feature to me, it does allow you to purchase with in-game money a bond, a like real actual thing that allows you to play the game at a member status, which is as if you paid, but with just in-game resources.
So,
sometimes when those systems are in place, that does mean that people can use real world money to like buy those bonds and then trade those for in-game resources. And so to some degree, they may have sort of backwardsly monetized kind of some whale behavior if people want to, but at the same token made it so that all of the content is theoretically unlockable free to play if you grind enough and have the in-game resources. So it's sort of a catch 22. It's a kind of middle place that I'm okay with, though I don't personally love as a monetization model.
It's better than what Dustin's talking about. Like, to me, that in-game, like buying a bond for membership with in-game GP is way better than like, hey, get your cool skins for $5 and that kind of thing. And
An experience XP enhancer boost.
That would ruin this game, and the developers are smart enough to know that.
Right.
So
game. RuneScape 3, they go that direction some. Because that's the way, and you know, whatever, you got to go the way that the game, that's the way that the gaming community has gone, unfortunately. But with this old school RuneScape trying to maintain the integrity of this old thing, and the cool thing is they've got a development team that still works on old school RuneScape.
Weekly updates.
And updates, fixes bugs, quality of life fixes, and so they're still maintaining this older version. There's just something just heartwarming about that. I don't know.
I know
what's
right.
cool about RuneScape. I'll say it here. I'll probably say it again at the end, but there's something about this game that goes against the current and the tide of where a lot of gaming is going and has gone. And there's something about that that I just really appreciate.
Aged.
I love this game, if you can't tell. And it's really, really interesting that the community was outraged, okay? So when RuneScape 3 came out, no one was happy. No one. They loved 2007's version of RuneScape, period. End of story. And the community just let that be known. A lot of people. And they were like, you know what? Okay, we're going to open up old school, old RuneScape and call it old school RuneScape servers. And you can play it and we'll develop it alongside RuneScape 3. I respect them as a company for doing that. Who does that?
Yeah,
no one.
It doesn't happen. Yeah, that's not a thing. You can't go back and play the first version of World of Warcraft or anything like it. Because
if you can't, I mean, you could for a while and then lawsuits got involved.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because
I didn't even know
some people rolled up some like original vanilla style servers and hosted them themselves. Even went to the point of like rebuilding the game in places that the code didn't even exist anymore to get it super authentic. And they got their pantsuit off.
Yeah. That's super interesting.
And the fact that JackX did this, they're like, we own it, you know?
Right. Well, yeah. And like, here's the thing. It's You can do both. They're proving that. There are people that play RuneScape 3. There's a good amount. Sure, I don't think that we've said it on this cast. I think we said it on the first play. But recently, in like the last year, old school RuneScape surpassed the amount of users and players than RuneScape 3.
That's so satisfying to me. Y'all don't care, but that's so good.
But it's fine. And like for me, who doesn't have a cat in the dog fight,
That's a good phrase.
Something.
It's not like I love one and hate the other. I'm fine with both. In fact, I'm happy for Jagex that you can have a more modern, up-to-date RuneScape 3 that a lot of people play and it makes you some money, and that you can and that you're smart enough and kind enough and generous enough to put out old school RuneScape and not prideful enough, right? Like humble enough to put out old school RuneScape, and you're still making a lot of money off of that, probably even more than RuneScape 3, and you're satisfying your player base. Do both. I'm all for it.
Yeah. And I think that you can pay for your Jagex account and like pay for membership, and it applies to both games.
I think so too.
I know that because I signed up for membership this week.
Kenny, did you know that Nolan got membership?
No.
He was streaming last night, and I was watching him stream, helping him quest. I was doing his research for him, telling him where to go. He hadn't said anything to me. He opens up a skill tab, and I see that all the skills are unlocked. And so I ask him in chat, did you buy membership? And he didn't answer me.
No.
It's cheap. I bought a bond, so it's not a month. I bought a bond for $7. Big freaking whoop. I could have sold that bond in-game for about $3 mil, though, but I didn't.
For $3 mil in-game currency?
Yeah, they're expensive. That's why it's balanced. You have to really play the game and put in time to actually not have to spend real-world money, which is smart. It should be that way. You shouldn't get them just, you know, they shouldn't be cheap in-game.
Yeah. So one of the glaring, one of the things that are going to be most obviously aged, but even like... purposefully so with this old school feel, is that you're going to be, what you're looking at is not pretty.
I'm glad you said it that way though.
Okay.
I think there's people that the graphics in their simplicity and definitely agedness state, but intentionally kind of retro feeling, there's people that might appeal to.
Yes.
It's nice. Clearly. Again, it doesn't run your system too heavy. It's something they could actually pull off doing, you know, the game in Java. Well, although heavy. A lot of
you
it's been rewritten.
You're saying too heavy. For someone that hasn't seen this game, guys, like you can, I don't know, think of like what? You could play this on a watch. It's not, it's
no,
not.
But think, yeah, it's pretty polygonal. Like
it was, what?
Nintendo 64 era graphics.
No. This was in browser.
Right.
It's a flash game. I mean, it's not, but you're not. I mean, we're in agreement. I'm just saying that you've got to even take a step or two back for those that don't know the graphics. It's not pretty, but that doesn't mean that it's not endearing or it's not good. I even steered away from the word good. I think for its time and for browser, spectacular, especially with the different mechanics,
sprites.
Not mechanics, but sprites. But I'm even talking about like the interface. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, okay.
The interface is great.
No.
Even for today.
What are you smoking?
Kenny didn't like the interface. I think it's so
simplistic. Brought up the fact that you said the graphics, like, because some people might like the graphics, and I was going to say, but nobody is going to like the interface because it's terrible.
Why do you think the interface is terrible?
No. Why?
Yeah, it's completely unintuitive. You're having to click everything. It's just, oh my goodness.
That's a good point. We should maybe point that out.
More than anywhere else is in the... user interaction experience.
Kenny, there's like 8 tabs. That's all. And then everything is within one of those tabs.
Wow,
let me turn
interface
on or off running for my character. oh, let me go to this settings menu and then a tab within the settings menu and then have to read tiny text that's unrelated to anything else and then click a little button to turn on the fact that I can run for 4 seconds.
You've got to be kidding me. Look at a WoW interface. There are like 60 buttons and skills at the bottom you have to worry about, literally.
Yeah, so many boxes, so many buttons.
Screw that.
This is big, colorful, and you might not get it right away, but as soon as you do, then you're set for the rest of the game for the next 100 hours you play.
I tried to get out of this game. You hit escape, and nothing happens. This interface is terrible.
Escape doesn't do anything anymore on anything.
You're playing. Remember, you're playing it in browser. What are you going to do? You probably try to use WASD too.
No, he was playing with the client because
probably should have done things as well as my numbers, as well as any number of things. It was bad. I bet if I'd control alt deleted, it wouldn't have even let me do that.
You brought up one point about clicking. You'd click a lot in this game. It's not like you have your left hand on the QWERTY row or WASD even.
In fact, you don't even need a left hand.
You can. I rarely use my left hand when I play this game. So, okay, that might turn a lot of people off. I get that. But it's very simple though.
Okay,
like,
so
it's
let's say you're not just chopping down a tree. Instead, you want to interact with an MMO and do things like cast magic spells. Oh, let's not hit a button to do that at an enemy that's right in front of me. Let's open up an interface with my mouse, choose randomly with my mouse which skill I want to take, click that, then go click on the person I want to cast it on. It's super inefficient. The interface here is terrible.
You're
simplistic,
wrong.
Good for the time. Different from today, yes, but I think that it's relatively easy to learn. And again, once you learn it, there's no changing, and it's super easy to follow after that point.
Thank you, Dustin.
But where we might not agree there, I hope that we can all fall in the same place here. We've got to. 2001, even 2007, the music is spectacular. Baby.
Yes.
I think it's spectacularly it. Don't, huh, and but then whatever your noises are.
The music is
so good because for these kinds of games, I mean, you can have epic music every once in a while, but you're going to hear a lot of the same tracks, right? When you put in 100 plus hours in a game, which you do in MMOs, you just want good, peaceful backing tracks. And I think that they do this really well. And it's not even just one song on loop or even just a couple. They've got dozens of songs. They've got tons of songs,
and you can pick which one you want to listen to.
Oh yeah,
which is great. That's what I liked, is the fact that within their vast library, if there was a song you wanted to just really rock out to, you could. If there was a song that you weren't feeling, skip it. Like, the fact that they give you that interaction actually is really welcome for me. And I agree.
But you don't like the music? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. I was just conceding that there was something good about this game.
Oh, okay.
Because the music is good.
That was the one thing good about this game?
It was one of a few things that were good about this game.
You were so wrong.
One other thing that I think ages well is that you've got so many different ways that you can play this game. Even at the beginning of old school RuneScape, it asks you if you want to play a certain way, because there's a few key ways that a lot of people like to play. Like, it asked me about an Iron Man thing, you know?
Yeah.
Do you remember
that's
that?
A new thing, yeah.
And then it also asked, or I think it was set up that, like, you could play a dead man mode.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what all those are, but it does give you flexibility, not only on how you play once you're in the game, but what kind of game you're running in the first place, which I just think that ages well.
That Iron Man thing's new. I think that mode, you can't bank. You can't store your items in a bank.
I think you also can't
trade.
Yeah, you can't interact with other players at all. You're basically running solo mode, and that includes
what's
in-game
that called
content.
In Diablo, Kenny? I forgot.
It's hardcore mode, or it's their version of hardcore.
They do hardcore as well, and hardcore is like you die and you lose hardcore status or your character altogether.
Right, which
cases.
Is crazy. But there's another thing in Diablo where you don't trade; you just self-found items.
Yeah, like solo self-found, like
solo
SSF
self-found
style
in
a lot of that kind of game today. Which is cool that they're giving extra modes and options. Like, I can respect that they respect their community, that they're open to doing unique kinds of things, and that they do things like when they want to make fundamental changes to an old game that's supposed to be classic, they don't just do it on a whim. They take community votes, which is a really cool concept.
That is really cool. And if you enjoy playing it on your computer, the really cool thing is that this last year, in fact, just a few months ago, they released a mobile version of the game for both Android and iOS, and where you can just kind of pick up right where you were and do the same thing, right? Like,
that's
correct. Nolan, you were talking about at the end of one of your recent streams that, like, you could literally stop, and then as you're going to bed, you can be mining, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you want to talk about crossplay earlier. That's cool that you can log into an MMO on your phone and just keep playing.
It just really helps with quality of life issues and helps with the age of the game, even playing it today.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status. And guys, it does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or another. NGP status is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It's only fair if Nolan, who's most passionately for this game, goes first and gives us kind of a summary of why he thinks this game is good and still playable today.
It's really fun. There's a huge nostalgia factor, I will admit, that is, I mean, undeniable. That's going to be a draw for a lot of people. So I hope a lot of people listening to this that played this game back in the day know that it still exists and that you can play it on mobile now. And I hope they pick it back up. That was just announced in December. So, I mean, it's new. Like, the community is really huge right now. So try the game. It's free. It's free to play, and you only need a browser. And if you're on Chrome, it'll have you download a client. But it's so fun. You can do so many different things. You can choose how you want to play the game. If you want a more fast-paced, very raid-heavy MMO, go spend $1 million playing WoW. I don't care.
Are you going to continue to play after we stop recording today?
Yeah, baby. I paid for membership. I'm getting my money's worth.
Are you going to pay for membership more
I'll
than
stream
once?
It. That's TBD, but I will stream it.
Kenny.
So I clearly am not in the same camp as Nolan. This game has lots of good qualities. Like, MMOs are great and something I generally enjoy. The weird sandboxy Minecraft kind of feel is not up my personal preference, taste-wise. I don't mind the old school look, but I did find the interface and learning like buttons and keys to be really kludgy. So I don't know. This is one of those games that I probably might change my mind about, but it would take so much playing to get there that I don't think I ever would. We kind of set that question up early. If I got to end game in this game where I was actually doing some like playing with other people and doing raids and quests and whatever, maybe. But to get there, I feel like I'm going to have to click too many trees and watch a simple animation repeat ad nauseum way too many times. And I'm into slow and repetitive games, but not slow, repetitive, mindless games. And I feel like this one falls too
You're
much
mindless.
Into that category for me personally to find it appealing. So I get why people like it. Not my cup of tea. No New Game Plus from me.
Just for the sake of the drama, I wish you would have been more passionately against it in this game or in this podcast.
Oh, I mean,
just to see Nolan's reaction. You were very kind to
you
not.
You were kind
because
I was pretty negative to it most of the show leading up to it, I felt like, just sort of ragging on it. And in the moment throughout this week, there were moments that I was like, this game's absolute garbage. I'm never, ever going to do anything good in the world again. But then there were moments that kind of redeemed it. And so I needed to be balanced.
Yes, that is one yes, one no. So it's down to yours truly.
Please, Lord.
Think RuneScape is a window into an earlier time. It allows you to see and feel and experience what games were like. I will take it back to 2001. I know there is 6 years from 2001 to 2007. A lot of things can be tweaked and happened during that time, but I still think that this feels like what it close to what it originally felt like. And so I think you can play that and experience that today. And the amazing thing is, because you can do that with some other games, but the amazing thing is you can still do it with other people, which is a hard thing to find and do in most games today. It also feels like a passion project. And it is, I guess, today, now that there are still people, a small group of 100%. Developers that are still working on it. You can feel the love that went into it. Some of the quests are well done and creative and have intricacies and story writing and characterization and some fun things. I do wish there was an overarching story, but I do appreciate the freedom and flexibility to play the game however you want to play the game. There are some clunky aspects of this game. The graphics aren't that great, and if you don't have the nostalgia there, then they might even be a turnoff. But I think that if you spend some time playing this game, you're going to find something to love, and I most certainly think that it is a game that everyone should at least try to play, especially because everyone can quickly play it within 10 minutes for absolutely free.
You said.
And you absolutely should. The game is RuneScape, and the game is New Game Plus certified.
Woo! Man, I was sweating over here for real. I thought you would land on the right side, Dustin, but I was a little scared.
That's the right side?
That's the right side.
Kenny's on the wrong side?
I'm still going to just informally tell people don't actually waste your time, but...
What are you going to do? Go play Chips Challenge?
Now he's going.
I mean, yeah, I'd have more fun playing Chips Challenge. I would.
I will buy you membership.
We had a few of our viewers write in. John wrote in and he said, I've been playing MMORPGs since forever. Why have I not heard about this game? I just tried it for one day and my God, its quests and side skills are so unique and cool. I can't believe I enjoy cutting trees and mining rock ores.
I know.
I wonder though if it's worth buying for a membership when I'm still a low level. I'm looking forward to playing more. I give RuneScape 2 thumbs up.
Let me help you out there. Great question. I think you should definitely wait on membership. It is 100% worth the price if you plan on playing the game longer. But keep playing and see if you really want to play it. And if you do, still wait and do all the free quests, you know, get a good, healthy bank going. And then when you're like, I'm ready for some content, go ahead and get it.
Yeah, there's guides out there that will tell you like what quests to work up to, and once you do that, then probably go towards membership, because there's tons you can do early on, and there's no reason to pay to do all the free stuff.
Yes.
Dylan also wrote in, and he said, RuneScape, it's a great game. Kenny sucks.
Of course, Dylan, the homie.
He knew. Of course, it could use a WASD way of moving, and of course, you could accidentally click on stuff, but that doesn't negate the greatness of this game. We're talking about a 2001 MMORPG where there is an individual's storyline intertwined with this community experience. Okay, I got you. The fact that there has been a massive resurgence already for this game should be enough for NGP. I have so many fond memories of this game, and it is without a doubt the single game I spent the most hours playing. Back in November, I picked it up again for several weeks and absolutely loved it. The map is huge, the possibilities are endless, and if you want to be a member to expand your world, it's only $5 a month, which I think it's like
a little
$8.
More. Yeah.
Yeah. No other platform is that cheap. I pray this game gets NGP certified.
Well, what's your name in game? And we'll play. And also, I can help you out with the WASD thing. Middle mouse click will do what you want it to do and faster than WASD would.
It'll let me run without running out of energy for a reasonable
or
amount of time.
Third-party client, yeah.
Just ignoring Kenny from now on.
I don't know who he is.
Thank you guys for writing in, but for now, it's time to put RuneScape aside. You can pull it back out right after we do this randomizer, but we're going to randomly select what game we're going to be playing for the next 7 days from our great retro master list. We have near 1,000 games on there that are 15 years old or older, submitted by you, our listeners. Check out the list. If there's a game we're missing, please send it to us. We'll make sure to add it on the list, and then it will be in our randomizer for the future weeks. For now, we're going to spin that randomizer and find out what game we'll be playing for the next 7 days. We're playing a game that originally actually came out for the TurboGrafx graphics 16 in 1990, but it was right after it was ported to the Sega Genesis.
All right.
It's got a couple different names. It's got a couple different systems, a couple different names.
Oh.
But the gameplay is very, is the exact same. It is a pinball video game.
Oh, no.
Developed by Compile. It's known as Devil Crash in Japan, but when it came out in the States, it was retitled as Dragon's Fury.
Huh.
Dragon's Fury.
Here's the deal. Huh. As long as it's not on two separate gameplay screens, I will give it a shot. If okay. we ever
have another pinball game. I don't want to play game, a pinball game for Martin Luther King
Jr.
either. Day.
Pinball's worst ball.
Like, so, I'm not opposed.
Well, okay, but when you look it up, it either will be under the title Dragon Crush, Dragon Crash, or no, sorry, Devil's Crush, Devil's Crash, or Dragon's Fury. They're all the same game.
Okay.
Cool.
So good luck.
Hop over into our Discord server this week, would ya? Go to Twitter and click on the Discord link to get a free invite and meet us there. Also, while you're at it and on Twitter, you can check out our new NGP t-shirts. We have 4 shirts available. They're very cool. And you can go to TeeRepublic and find us on there. But there's a link on our Twitter, so you might as well follow us and just click on that link.
We want to say a big thank you to our producer-level patron supporters, Alex, Bill, Zion, Gimberino, and Dear Baby. You guys help keep it real, and we love you.
You can also find us on social media at Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, at NGP Podcast, as well as our YouTube channel, New Game Plus Podcast. Find some regular video content there and some streaming content over at Twitch. I'm sure that Nolan will be streaming a little bit of RuneScape this week.
Definitely.
Listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice, and make sure you subscribe so that you're the first to get new NGP episodes. While you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Devil's Crush or Devil Crash or Dragon's Fury. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I've been playing RuneScape on my phone this whole episode.
Kenny doesn't like RuneScape, and this has been New Game Plus.